will sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly shown in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth hath seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the earth, to the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpet and the sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth, with righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity. May we praise God with the singing of hymn number 65, Joy to the World. We praise thee, O God, and acknowledge thee to be the creator. We praise thee, O God, and acknowledge thee to be the sustainer and the judge. We praise thee, O God, and acknowledge thee to be the Savior and the friend of man. In the name of Jesus, we boldly come to thee, O great God, and call thee Father. Hear the prayers of thy children to grant us forgiveness for our waywardness and our rebellion, our disobedience, the fretfulness of our hearts, and the carelessness of our lives, and call us back with a holy love to claim thee as our Lord and God. Bless us in this hour, for thou knowest the need of each heart, and speak to that need, that the burdens will be made lighter, the faith will be made stronger, and the way will be bright before us. Come, O Holy Spirit, and take possession of us to make us truly children of God. We thank thee for our school and for the blessings it has been to the world, and pray thou continue to bless each member of this large family, that we may be instruments in thy hands for the bringing in of thy kingdom. We thank thee for the one who comes to speak to us this morning, and pray thou will anoint him with thy spirit and use him for thy glory. For our prayer is in Jesus' name. Amen. You be seated. We're very happy this morning to have the Reverend W. Chess Smith as our preacher. Mr. Smith is pastor of the First Baptist Church in Tifton, Georgia, and is president of the Alumni Association of Southeastern Seminary. The association now comprises more than 2,300 graduated alumni, and these are scattered all over the world. We praise God for them and pray God's blessings upon them. Mr. Smith is a member of the first class of Southeastern Seminary, graduating in 54 with his BD, and then coming again in 55 with THM. He has served as pastor of the Pine Lake Baptist Church in Georgia, and the Guest Road Baptist Church here at Durham, and the Glen Hills Baptist Church of Decatur, Georgia. And since 1966, has been pastor of the First Baptist Church of Tifton. Mr. Smith, in addition to your being president of the Alumni Association, I believe we have two other former presidents, Mr. Ray Hodge from Durham and our own Mr. Jerry Nicewanger. We welcome these into this service and pray God's blessings upon you as you now speak to us.
I'm very happy to have this privilege of preaching in the seminary chapel for the second time. The first time was 19 years ago, and perhaps the third time will be 19 years from now. The only gentleman left out of our first class experience on the faculty is Dr. Green. I don't know whether that's significant or not, but it's true. The setting is different. The attendance is similar. I trust that what we shall do today will be helpful to all of us concerned. I was doing all right until I met a young man back here in the back who said he was going to record what was said today. And I understand that they do this for all of the speakers and then replay them in preaching classes to teach the students how not to do it. So we will try to forget about that and share together these moments in the presence of God. One verse. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. What kind of man is fit for the kingdom of God? What kind of man does God need today? I think it's a legitimate question because down through the centuries, this is how God has performed his work. Not with legion of angels, nor the waving of a magic wand, but through men. Honest, authentic, men, who, as Dr. Staley used to tell us, put their britches on one leg at a time. Men. When he started his redemptive work, he needed a man and found Abram and called him. And Abram followed. Abram was by no means perfect, but Abram was committed, and so he followed. When God needed his people to be led from Egypt toward the promised land, he called Moses. And all across history, wherever God needed a work done, he called a man. What kind of man does God need today? Not yesterday, nor tomorrow, but today. What kind of man does God need today? I'd like to suggest one or two characteristics of the kind of man I believe God needs today in our turbulent times. God needs a man who will not panic. We're living in a day in which this is easy to do. For everything which we thought had been nailed down seems to be coming up. And those things we thought we had settled and neatly categorized, somebody has come and turned over the table, and they're all mixed up. We're living in a day when the world is largely ignoring the church, and we are frightened. All of the conditions in which we live would shove us and literally push us to the place that we would grab the rug phone or push the panic button. Somebody do something quick. God needs a man who will not panic in the time of crisis. He needs a man who will not stand in the midst of a crowded room and holler fire. He needs the kind of man who will stand with his feet on the ground, even though he may have his head in the clouds. This is the kind of day when it is easy to be swayed by every wind and doctrine. In our hustle and hurry to be relevant, we are finding ourselves doing many things we would not do if we were to step back and look honestly at the situation. When a man is desperate, he finds himself doing things he would not do otherwise. And in our haste today to be relevant to this world, I'm not so sure but what we are throwing the baby out with the bathwater. What kind of man does God need today? He needs a man who will not panic, who will see his day, who will reasonably sample the new, but who will not be swept away with the tide that only offers fads and passing fancies. When New Bedford was the center of the whaling industry of the New World, there was an old sea captain by the name of Captain Hull. And the people of the town would love to gather and sit at his feet as he told them his tales of adventure. And the boys and girls would ask him how he would navigate on the high sea and do such an amazing job of finding the prey and bringing back the catch. And Captain Hull would say, "Boys, it's simple. I would go up on deck and I'd listen to the wind in the rigging and I'd study the movement of the tides and then I would take a long look at the stars. And then I would go down below and plot my course." Well, the day came when the insurance companies would not insure the ships unless they had aboard a navigator who had gone to the latest schools, learned the new methods and formulas, and worked with the precision instruments available. They were afraid to tell Captain Hull that this was the order of the day, but when they approached him, he gladly said, "I would like to go to school and like to learn these new methods." And so he went, to the amazement of everyone. He studied hard and came back. The day was set when he would move out for the first time. And he left with his ship and men, his instruments and methods and formulas, and was gone about a year. And when he returned, they all met to find out how he did. Captain Hull said it was great. He said, "I got down in my cabin," and he said, "I worked out the formulas and followed the methods and used my instruments and I plotted my course." Then he said, I walked up on deck and I listened to the wind in the rigging. And I studied the movement of the tides. Then I took a long look at the stars and then went down below and corrected my mistakes. Men, we need to sample the new, but we need to realize that there are some things which have not changed and will not change. And in our day of turbulence and strife and difficulty and crises, we will not panic. God needs that kind of man. My hometown has changed drastically in the 25 years just past. The whole skyline is different. Every time I drive into Atlanta and see the latest skyscraper that has dotted the skyline, I'm amazed at what has taken place. But I'm also confident of this, that though the architecture may change and vary from generation to generation, they're still building the foundations by the same formula. Though our day changes, and our methods and means and approaches may change, there are some things that do not change. What kind of man does God need? He needs the man who will not panic, but he also needs the man who is in touch. The man who is relevant. The man who does know his generation. Who does know his society. Who is aware of what's going on. He's not out on the periphery, but he's at the center. And he's aware of what's taking place. Jesus said we were to be the salt of the earth, and until you take that salt and put some in the palm of your hand and rub it into that side of meat, it does no good. And unless you and I are in touch with our day, we can sing our hymns and listen to our lectures and study our books, but it'll come to naught. God needs a man who's in touch with his world and he knows what's going on. In one of our cities, there's a storefront church. Just down two or three doors from it is a tavern that not only pushes liquor but narcotics and all of the rest. Two or three doors up from it, there's a flourishing house of prostitution. It's that kind of setting and community. And the pastor of this storefront church was talking with the captain of the police force and said, Captain, will you help us clean up our neighborhood? And the captain said, Preacher, you ought to move the church out of this block. This is no place for the church. But that's precisely where the church ought to be. More so than Vista or Peace Corps or the OEO or any of the other agencies of our government. Not discounting what they're doing, but they have dropped in largely to pick up the gap that you and I left. That's where the church needs to be. And in the name of Christ, ministering to those rather than the government ministering to them. God needs the kind of man who will be in touch with his world. And then last, let me suggest that God needs the kind of man who will demonstrate. We're having a great deal of that today. And I'm not speaking of demonstration insofar as placards and marching up and down the street. I'm speaking of demonstration through life and character and personality. I'm talking about the quiet demonstration that people feel more than they hear, that people can sense, that's contagious, the kind of demonstration that the whole world stood quietly and watched in awe, though the heavens clamored and the earth shook when Jesus died on the cross. A kind of demonstration that we can use as examples if we were trying to tell someone what we meant when we said that the power of God can transform human life. You know, the question that Jesus kept shoving in here and there, if not by actual statement, by insinuation, it was this: what do ye more than others? What are you doing that other people are not doing? How far have you gone ahead of the dead level of average and what is expected? What are you doing that the only way the world could find an explanation for it was to say that it was by the Spirit of God? You know, I asked myself that question not too long ago, and I asked it about myself and my church, and I asked my people. I said, can you think of one thing about us here at First Baptist Church in Tifton in South Georgia? Can you think of one thing about us that the only way we could explain it to the world was simply to say that it was by the power and the Spirit of God? What do you do more than others? God needs the kind of man who will not panic. He needs the kind of man who is in touch. And he needs the kind of man who will demonstrate in his life that something has happened and made him different. She was a young lady in years, but old in looks. She was drunk, sitting in the railroad station, and people looked at her in scorn and contempt and passed her by. Pretty soon, a lady from the Salvation Army came in. It's getting about that time of the year, and one of the things I enjoy about Christmas time, Dr. Green, is the remembrance I had as a boy when my father would carry me downtown in Atlanta and we'd listen to the Salvation Army band playing on the street corner. Somehow I stood there as a small boy and didn't know much about music, and it probably wouldn't win an award, but there was something about the singing and the playing that I remember to this day. The Salvation Army lady walked in and she glanced around and saw the young lady sitting. She went over and sat down beside her. And in conversation, she discovered where the young lady wanted to go. She got up and went to the ticket window and bought the ticket. Came back and sat down and put her arm around her and talked with her and shared with her. And people saw it, began to close around them in disgust. And one man standing there asked her the question. And she said, I have found out where she's going and I've bought her ticket. And he said in scorn, what will she do when she gets there? And the Salvation Army lady said, I'll be with her when she gets there. Now, men, it's right in there that you find the difference. Most of us would have been content to buy the ticket. Not many of us would have been with her when she got there. What kind of man does God need? A man who will not panic, a man who is in touch, and a man who's willing to demonstrate. Will you stand as we sing together hymn 445? O God, make me the kind of man that thou canst use for Jesus' sake.